And what are you using for your voting right now? Is it a token? Is it NFT? I don't even have one. I got to fix that. I got to get one. How come you guys never like told me to get one before? What's going on here?
Because we don't have one.
In progress.
Should I be muting this section out? Just like beeping it out? We are back with another episode of the CityDAO Pod. I'm your host, MemeBrains, or Eric, if you know me, IRL. And I'm joined here by two people who are unquestionably dedicated to the betterment of the DAO ecosystem. I'm talking about Flow Science, also known as Elijah, and DAO of Steve, also known as Steve from DAO Planets. I've literally walked in at an event in person into their hotel room. I know that sounds weird, but bear with me. And there was six people on their team sitting on beds, sitting on chairs, sitting on the floor, just working on getting their events to be in tip-top shape before the big, big days. And I just happened to be there. So I popped in and said hi. And I didn't expect anyone to be working like that. So it's really cool to see people in the heat of the action as things are really kicking off. So for those of you that don't know, DAO Denver is the largest side event to East Denver, which took place just only 2 months ago. It's crazy how time flies. Just 2 months ago from the time of this recording. Now this year, 2023, there was hundreds of people. Do you know how many people were there, Elijah, Steve? I forget exactly what the number was at DAO Denver.
We had a lot of people just wander in, so not everybody registered. My estimate is about 1,000 people through the door over the course of 3 days.
Probably a little higher, but yeah. We had a lot of registrations. It was a little tricky to get the exact number because some people just kind of floated in. But yeah, it was great. And Denver itself, I think, was like 20 plus, maybe even closer to 30,000. It was quite a week.
You're wearing the CityDAO sweater. We're both wearing the CityDAO sweater. I'm going on a total side tangent here. You did this for the show, didn't you?
I did. I'm a total imposter. I'm an imposter.
No, I love it. And for those of you that don't know as well, CityDAO, we did a partnership or a sponsorship or whoever you want to call it with DAO Planet / DAO Denver. And we had a lounge set up right beside the DAO Denver event center. And the lounge was open for 3 days. You hang out, you meet people, do some drinks, just get to know each other, IRL, get all that, the weird stigma that happens online. You know what I'm talking about, right? The weird arguing or the distance that text messaging makes. And you see people in real life. And I, for one, made friends with a few people that I can think off the top of my head. I'm not going to name them, but a few people that I had been, let's call it, friendly debating with online. And got to meet them in the CityDAO lounge beside DAO Denver. And we hang out, we get to know each other. And it was a great thing. And that's one of the biggest positives of events. And actually, this is an interesting topic. So I saw this Y Combinator sheet that went around and it was advising younger startups just on some tips that they'd learned. And one of the tips on that sheet, this is a spicy topic. One of the tips there said, don't go to events unless you're sure that you're going to make sales from it. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's unpack that. I can recognize that there are certain types of people who go to events and spend $1,000 on a flight, $1,500 on a hotel, maybe $1,000 on eating out every single night and food. And they go to this event and then what, right? They go there to learn. Okay, well, why not YouTube, right? Or they go there to sell. And then if everyone's there to sell, it's a big sell fest. No one wants to go to that. Or they go there to party. And well, you can party anywhere. Why do you spend $3,000 of company money on that? So there are certain people that go to events over and over and over, and they're not really making the best use of it. But there's other people. Like for me, I made some fantastic connections that were concrete that have led into positive, really, really clear momentum moving forward. And people that I had started to lightly get to know each other on text or on Twitter, I got to meet them in person and develop those relationships to a point where now we can start talking about real stuff. We can talk about the ecosystem. We can do podcast episodes. We got potential customers lined up for when we launch our product, which is a totally separate topic. And this was a very positive thing, but it's tricky to know when and how. So I'm curious about your perspectives. When should someone go to an event or not? And why should they go to an event or why should they not go to an event?
Yeah, I'll jump in first if that's okay. I think one of the huge values we discovered that we bring when we show up and DAO Planet produces an event is it's all about the connection and about the human connection. Like what you were mentioning, Eric, a lot gets lost in translation and text, and everybody creates meaning around what they're seeing. And a lot of times that creates distance. And one of the most valuable things that I hear from people that attend DAO Planet events like DAO Denver, DAO NYC, DAO Planet NYC, is that the connections, the signal to noise, their benefit of the depth of connections they produce is like one of the most valuable things. And we very intentionally don't make it a shill fest. And I think from a marketing standpoint, it's most important, the best sales are done when people aren't trying to sell. It's when you find that product market fit that you're looking for as an individual. You find the product or the tool that solves your problem. And the best way to find that is not because there's a lot of inbound coming at you in terms of marketing. It's that you speak to somebody and you hear about them solving a problem or a problem that they experience a solution for. And you're like, I need that. And then it just really eases the whole glide path to getting on board, getting involved in implementing and solving things like interpersonal relationships, getting two people in a room. I haven't read the Y Combinator piece, but I can get that a lot of people do waste time at events. So I think you want to balance that. If everybody's just trying to show up just to be seen and see and be seen, then it can be a bit of distraction. I know it's hard for me to get other work done when I'm just attending events. So I think there's a balance there.
And what about you, Elijah? What are some of the things that you've seen people do successfully that help them make the best use of time at an event that you can't get somewhere else? What kind of stuff have you seen or that you like to do?
Yeah, I mean, it really just does come down to talking to people that you wouldn't otherwise get the chance to. And for me, that was taking a further step back. Like, that's kind of what got me more involved with DAO Planet last year when DAO Denver 2022. Prior to that, DAO Planet is mostly a community of DAO contributors, founders, people learning about DAOs. And we are so early in crypto, we're even earlier in DAOs. And the whole community, everybody involved is an early adopter. Right? We've all got that early adopter mindset. We all have a problem that we're trying to solve, like with our hair on fire. We're not looking for the perfect solution. We're looking for something that puts the fire out, right? It's not going to be that. And then so it's really hard to find that needle in the haystack, right? When there is so much noise. And being able to just cut through it, and especially if you're at the right event that's concentrating people that are interested in those same sorts of things, which we really tried to do. And I think Steve did a fantastic job with prepping all the speakers with this concept of speak what you're really passionate about. And if you really identify what you're passionate about, why you're here, and what's that burning hair problem for you and what you're trying to solve, then it's not a shill fest, right? You're really speaking about why we're here, and it's impactful. And it helps bridge those connections and get those people to find each other in those contexts. And you really can't get that anywhere else. And I experienced that last year. That's why I came back and got more involved this year. But yeah, I think that was really it. And we'll both try to achieve in coordinating not just the speakers, but in promoting it and trying to get sponsors, right? Getting the right people in the room and even at the right time. Yeah, I got so many connections there. It was fantastic. There's just people that I just bumped into. I was like, oh, yeah, you're this person. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm Flow Science, Elijah. Like, it's like, oh, wow, we met in that random one, like chat or that one Twitter space or something. You know, it's like, and you're going to have a deeper conversation and you don't know where it's going to lead. But that's, I think, with the size of the space and then the type of people that are in right now, it's just that high signal that you can pull out of that.
Yeah, back in my first entrepreneur days, I did a bunch of event production that was not related to tech, not related to DAOs or crypto. And it was all just about education. It was about business networking. It was basically just, it was like a trade show mixed with networking, mixed with live entertainment. It was super fun. And back then, I had never been to an event before. I'd never been to a large business event before. I was like, what, 19 years old, right? And the energy of those events was like nothing I'd ever seen. It's something, okay, I got to go to another one. I got to go to another one. I got to go to another one. And I hadn't thought about what success looks like. What do I want from this event? What sort of justification do I have for it? Why would I go? I was just going because it was fun and the energy was exciting. And so I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways from the Y Combinator piece is that it's important to have clarity on why are you going to this event? What is the purpose? What is your desired outcome? And if you have that, then you're going in with a clear intention that's been calculated. And it's a lot easier to measure how well that event went. If there's any tip, I think, for people that are listening, it's just to, before you go to an event, whichever one it is, just think to yourself, write it down in bullet points, right? What is it that you want to get out of this event? Why are you going to this one? Who do you specifically want to meet? Why do you want to meet them? And in what context, right? To just shake someone's hand and then run away, it doesn't do anything, right? So like, what is the conversation going to look like? If you're uncomfortable speaking with people, even jot down a couple notes on what you want to say and why you want to say it and how you're going to follow up. Are you going to connect on Telegram or Twitter or on somewhere else? You can't sell. You can't go around and just sell all your products, but just really think about it and practice about how to introduce yourself and make a good flowing conversation and just make sure that it aligns with what you're trying to do. So that's my little tip of the day here. It just kind of came out spontaneously. If you guys want to add anything else in here, tips on events, what's your wisdoms here coming from infinite experience in event planning and organizing here? What do you got?
I think you nailed it. That makes a lot of sense. And if you're in an organization coming from a Y Combinator standpoint, they're trying to guide companies to being really effective. And if you're not intentional, it's almost regarding anything you do. If you don't have set out a purpose and what you're trying to achieve to point you in the right direction and have that intention, it's going to be really difficult to have a successful outcome in almost anything that you're pursuing. So if you're making an argument to like a C-level person, if you're an employee at an organization, you're saying, hey, I want to go to this event. It's real good to come with an idea. And if you're even presenting something to a DAO, hey, I want to go here. I want the DAO to pay for my room and board. What are your KPIs? What are the metrics of success and the reason for attending?
Yeah, I don't want to draw too many parallels between running your life as a business, but basically, you know, it's like being in a DAO, it's like you got your mission and values, right? You've got your mission and values in life, right? And how do your actions align with that? When you're doing something, you're spending your time and your effort on something. And you need to always identifying what your mission is and aligning your actions with it will, like you said, who do you want to meet? What do you want to get out of this? Having that sort of, let's say, like DAOs need life coaches, like people need life coaches, right? Like just kind of keep it like, we should do a podcast on that. Life coaches for DAOs. But yeah, I think just having that clear direction and make sure you, I always say, don't take yourself too seriously. Don't sell too hard, right? Just go and connect with people. That's really, I think, especially after COVID, a lot of people are missing that. And some people are still getting back, you know, into normal life. And I think just that personal connection, being real with somebody, you can't do that online. You can't do that in the chat. Like, it's, that's really what it comes down to.
I like that. Life coach for DAOs. Is there a coach DAO? Can we get a DAO that just coaches whatever vertical you're in?
What happens if I go to coachdao.com? Let's see what happens. Oh, I got something. Oh, no, just the domain is for sale. Well, it's only $5,500 if you want to buy
it. Let's go. Hey, we got three core team members here for CoachDAO.
So I met you, Steve. I met you over at Decentral Miami is when I first met you. And then you're out here doing, or not here, but you were out in Denver doing DAO Denver. And how many events per year are you guys hosting?
It's growing. We started with DAO Denver 2022. It was ambitious. A bunch of people were like, LFG, let's, for the NC17 crowd, let's fucking go. Let's do this. Here's a great idea. And it was great that the DAO coalesced around that mission. Because up until then, we had been a DAO for organizations, for people to come and learn how to do this thing called DAOs. It wasn't like we had the answers. We said, here's a DAO where people can come and we can talk about what are the resources, what are the best practices, share our learnings and share our experience and our journey. And then bringing it to the real life post-COVID venues was really impactful. And I think everybody wanted to do more. I wanted to do more. So we just kept putting one foot in front of the other and said, okay, what's next? Now we've got a handful under our belt. We've done everything from doing one-day events, like taking over and programming a stage, as in the case of Decentral, doing the DAO stage. So actually last night, I was just at a Crypto Mondays meetup speaking. So I think what we want to do is get out there and bring people together to have a conversation and to figure this stuff out and to really explore what's the range and what are the bounds, if there are even really bounds to what can be considered a DAO and what are the practices that can make organizations successful and what are the tools that really help. So that's the conversation I find myself in most often and having. And maybe that's why people ask, because I've got a lot of experience in looking at what's out there and having those conversations, as does Elijah, as do you. And I think we love being in the conversation. We're here on this podcast now.
What's the next event coming up?
Well, we've put some things out there. We don't have anything 100% confirmed, but we're looking at ETHCC doing something in Paris. I've been speaking to a bunch of folks out there who are doing different things. We're looking at, do we partner with somebody? A lot of times, as with other things in the DAO, it takes critical mass to get behind something. And then we bring it up for a vote and say, okay, here's a structure. Here's a team that's going to, you know, like have an executive team around each project. And we also want to open it up for other people in the DAO to do their own thing locally. So we want to support people in coming up with meetups in their areas and different initiatives they want to have. I think the common thread is real life gatherings or virtual gatherings, but gatherings for the purpose of conversations around the DAO space.
And so DAO Planet is run as a DAO, right? You do most of your stuff on Discord. And what are you using for your voting right now? Is it a token? Is it NFT? I don't even have one. I got to fix that. I got to get one. How come you guys never like told me to get one before? What's going on here?
Because we don't have one.
In progress. But yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you can explain it, Steve. But yeah, we do have a voting system in place, postal system in place, charter, and yeah, working on getting more of that on chain as we go. But Steve, you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah. I think initially founding the DAO, like maybe it would have been smarter to do like an ICO for the DAO and mint DAO Planet tokens, and then everybody could buy them and we could have a huge treasury. But personally, I wanted to figure out how we were going to use those tokens before we voted, and actually to make it a community choice to mint tokens and what those tokens would be used for. And that's the path we went down. But we found that we were active. We didn't need tokens to get engagement in the Discord. So we just use emoji voting. So we adopted a constitution and it's a democratic process. So it's not even like token weighting. It's like anybody who's a member has the same weighted vote as everybody else at this point. And we've approved a proposal to mint tokens. So we're in the process of minting tokens. It's easy to mint tokens. The hard part is figuring out the distribution, making sure everybody feels like they're being equitably rewarded for their contribution to the DAO and that they have a voice in the DAO. And then maybe we can play with what's the token weighting once we start distributing tokens based on merit and looking at the whole range of things from soulbound tokens for membership. What kind of KYC will there be? Try to set things up smart from the get-go. And the growth has been organic. So nobody's been shut out of the DAO. People show up. And if they're inspired to contribute and produce things, then we want to support it. But it takes other people getting behind those ideas for anything to actually move forward. And then people have to put themselves on the line to produce something.
That is like the best line I've heard, I think, possibly in all of 2023 so far. Steve, I think you get the cake here. If I had a button to do the confetti right now, I'd throw it out.
Which line? I want the snippet so I can write it down and make it our tagline or something.
Well, because when you ask the average person what's a DAO, they'll probably say something like, it's a token with some people that hopefully goes up that you use for voting. And it's this vague sort of, what did you even just say? Like, what did that even mean? Right? And you just hit the nail right on the head where you don't need a token for voting. It's not necessary. It's not mandatory. It's not required. It's a tool that enhances what? It enhances the core. Well, what's the core? It's a community. The community is the core. And community has a lot of different definitions. In this context, it's people that are aligned, that are interested in events, that are interested in hosting good events and helping organize those events. And this is the commonality, the common denominator between people that are in DAO Planets. And when you have that common denominator, organically, we can call that a type of a community, right? And then you can make decisions together, but you don't need a token for that, right? Not everything needs to have a token. And I feel like the way that you explain that is something that most people in this ecosystem don't understand. They don't get it. They talk about a DAO and they think about their token launch and about raising capital and about going to buy something. And often that really needs to happen. It's very, very true. But there's so many DAO, like Lynx DAO is a great example of doing that. City DAO is a great example of doing that. But other DAOs, it's missing. Organic community is the foundation for anything. And if that organic community can benefit by blockchain technology, then start using blockchain technology, sure. And communities that use blockchain are typically the ones that are called DAOs instead of just being called community. I don't think at any point on the show so far, out of 40-something episodes, have I had someone just say, look, we're a community and we're building and things are going well and we haven't rushed into blockchain because it's not necessary for us to function. And you're functioning well. You got 1,000 people at DAO Denver. There was, I don't know how many hundreds of people, maybe 1,000 people at Decentral Miami, and you don't have a token. Like, this is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah, we have minted NFTs, so people can buy the NFT, go to the website, and that just gets them free access and VIP treatment, praise and thanks, because it does take money to produce these events. So I agree. Thank you. And yeah, you don't need a token to start a DAO. And some of the things, you know, I think we have a shakeup. A lot of people started DAOs for the sake of starting DAOs. And unless you have a core purpose, it's going to be hard to keep people engaged in the community around something that's just, let's just chat. There's got to be some angle, some hook, something that keeps people around and people contributing in a valuable way. But yeah, you could just do it as a Telegram group. And you mentioned Lynx DAO. And I've been looking at some of the models of, you know, a lot of people are like, well, that's just a cooperative. And maybe DAOs are just cooperatives because it's been really hard to define DAOs. We've had unconferences on like, what is a DAO? And 10, 20 different people will have different explanations. Some people will say it's a community with a token. And some people will say it's a community with a wallet, which can be a little bit more broad. and it could just be a community. I think the decentralized piece, so the difference with DAOs, in my mind, is the distributed decentralized piece where people can participate at just a higher level from anywhere where they have an internet connection. I was going to say the globe, but they could be in orbit. They could be, you know, if you've got an internet connection and you've got access to the tools, they could be Web 2 tools, Web 3 tools, but generally requires interconnectivity on that level. And then from there, it's all about the tools, and tokens are just tools that can really enhance what you're doing and make sure it's auditable and non-destructive in that sense.
Yeah, I think the token would be, you know, at the three letters of a DAO, right? I think it's along the autonomous axis most, because any DAO, any organization, right? What is an organization? It's people that agree to a set of common rules. Right? Very simple. And there's different sort of paradigms for these common rules, right? There's LLCs, there's C-Corps, there's DAOs. What is really, what makes a DAO different than an LLC or some other traditional collective cooperative? I think the decentralization and the autonomy. And what does that mean? Well, with right now with DAO Planet, for example, it's just membership. That's sort of how we gate it to prevent civil attacks, is one person, one vote with just an emoji into your Discord handle. So we have a form to apply where that's manually reviewed before people get voting rights, right? So we kind of have to be like, this person, they're applying, we've spoken to them. So you used to do one-on-one calls with people. And it's not really scalable at that level, but that's where the token would come in, right? To increase the decentralization, the autonomy of the organization, to enable people to not rely on, what was it, like a mutiny, if, for example, Steve decides to kick people out of Discord, to then, you know, like start a new Discord, do hard work, like, wouldn't have to rely on that. We just own a token, an NFT, even an NFT that gives you one vote in your wallet. And then that increases your autonomy and it increases the decentralization because it's not relying on admins of Discord to manage things, right? But it's not required. It's just one part of the formula where we can increase the decentralization and autonomy of the org as we go in a smart way.
Yeah. If you had tokens, then yeah, true that people could take over the Discord, could start their own Discord. You know, it hasn't, I'd be like, okay, fine.
You're like, no, don't say that.
No, I mean, I think we have, you know,
should I be
don't,
muting this section out, just like beeping it out?
I think DAOs want to look at this. A lot of the questions I get asked are around, how do we make sure that the right people are joining the organization? My philosophy and how DAO Planet has done this, people can set up a core group, the initial founding group. Nothing starts decentralized. Everything starts centralized. And then it's always, I think you're on a journey to decentralize, because ultimately you want it to just have a life of its own. And the group is the organism and no one can kill it. So I think going to extremes, what Elijah was saying is, yeah, I could theoretically kick people out of the Discord. Discord could go away. What if the servers go down? Not having a token, it would be hard to resurrect that community. We do have a list of people and some contact information, so we could send out an email and we could say, hey, everybody, we're not on Discord, we're on this new platform. I think what the token does, it gives it that non-destructive element. So speaking to autonomy, autonomous would be like nobody can really kill it, because if there were member tokens, then the blockchain is something that can't be killed. So that makes it more robust from that vector. But I think we're not at the point of worrying about that. But when you're talking about protocols and you're talking about really large organizations, I think then it becomes more and more important to have a token that can't be destroyed. And because of the decentralized nature and many copies of the chain existing everywhere, you know, as long as somebody has a wallet, even if it's a paper wallet or a cold wallet, they can reclaim their governance rights and reconstitute that DAO.
Yeah, these are all really good points. And this ecosystem is so new and evolving so rapidly. I saw on Cointelegraph an article that came out just a couple of weeks ago talking publicly about how a lot of DAOs aren't really DAOs, but how a lot of DAOs are trying to become more decentralized, become more organized, become more autonomous. And it's a long road ahead for all of us on this one. How did you guys get involved in this in the first place? Like, why did you decide to do DAO Denver 2022? Did you guys do event planning before? Did you have any experience in it? Or have you just jumped in instead of doing an event?
I guess I'll jump in. My background is in production. So I've produced film and television. I've produced companies. I like producing something out of nothing, having an idea of like, oh, I would like to see this thing manifested in the world and then figure out how to do that. And I've got a framework basically for doing that throughout my career of 20 to 30 years of building stuff. And starting a DAO was a similar thing. there wasn't necessarily a vision for the DAO. I got into the space a few years ago, like between 2 and 3 years ago, looking at decentralizing and fractionalizing ownership of things. That led me to looking at DAOs as a business structure, because part of building stuff often includes building a business structure around it. And then I fell into DAOs, and that looked like the perfect vehicle to get a group of people together to initiate a project where you could have partial ownership over something. And partial ownership over an organization, after going through lots of iterations of fundraising for different projects and different teams that I've joined or that I've initiated, to raise money from seed investors, to create all the legal governance documents, to distribute stock options, and to do all of that really weighty legalese, DAOs were a really lightweight solution to that problem. Let's just build value first, but without spending a lot of capital. Let's build value, capture value, the really basic foundational things that you need to do whenever building an organization. DAO seemed like a solution. So I was like, okay, well, how do you build a DAO? No better way to learn than by doing. So just spun up a Discord server and people started joining. I think it was probably peak DAO. Before we were in the crypto bubble, people were raising tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for projects like buying constitutions or just having a club of friends and having a community with a wallet, but it was a really fat wallet. We didn't go the wallet route, but started a DAO, and then it really became what I was really interested in, and I think others were also. So it wasn't just me. What we found the commonality was interest in these decentralized autonomous organizations. What does it mean? How do you build them? What are the tools? And what's it like being in that conversation? And then getting to the actual question of DAO Denver 2022, I think there were some talks about doing like an in-person day within the DAO, like a DAO day. And then I was at NFT NYC. So that would have been 2021 NFT NYC. And that was in November, I believe. And it was like the timing. I was like, okay, there's hunger for this. I met some people there that were interested in participating. And off of that, I think in my mind, that was the spark of, okay, let's do this. I'd been involved with creating a lot of not only like media projects, but also a number of events that I've produced with other people, even back in 2016 in the crypto space. So for me, that felt natural to produce an event. And then a lot of people stepped up, and the only way to do is to dive in and just take off that limiter.
And what about you, Elijah?
Well, I found DAO Planet, actually. I want to give a shout out to Grace Rachmani from DAOleadership.com. She sent me to DAO Planet, actually.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. I talked to Grace fairly frequently on our little Telegram group here.
Oh, nice.
I had no idea that she connected you in. I got to reach out to her after.
Yeah, it was totally random because I started working on a DAO before I even knew what a DAO was. The lab that I'm sitting in now used to operate as a diagnostic service, testing plants, primarily cannabis, doing genomic testing, kind of like Ancestry.com, but we never kept the data. So we never had any control over it, never claimed it. So I wanted to create a DAO to incentivize my customers to share that data, right? Or actually give them shared ownership over some sort of marketplace. I had no idea what any of these things were. I didn't know what a DAO was. And I just reached out to a couple of friends that I knew were involved in blockchain for a few more years and being like, hey, I have this idea. I think I can use blockchain for it. And they're like, oh, you should look at what a DAO is. Look at all this other stuff. And I just went down that rabbit hole of like writing a white paper and researching DAOs. And I came across Grace, and then she sent me a DAO Planet. And so it was just this rabbit hole. It was one of the endpoints of the rabbit hole. And I found DAO Planet, and it was just like, oh, this is great. People learning about DAOs, all this information. And I have a little bit of background in event production. I've worked at festivals doing art installs at first, and then like art production, art ops, and site ops and things like that. So I've been on the back end of festivals and events, did a bunch of events for the testing company that we ran, like local networking events and stuff like that. So I just had some experience putting things together like that. And I saw this group of people that now is sort of learning with and putting together this thing for ETH Denver. I was like, what is that? That sounds super cool. I'm in.
One of the things that's really hot right now in the industry that I'm following, not like I could follow it closer than I am, but I just keep getting the snippet news updates ongoing, is with Arbitrum. It's framed from the outside looking in. The way that it's framed is that there's a group, right? Arbitrum Foundation, that put together a lot of capital and decided to put governance into, let's just call it a DAO. You know, what does that even mean? But they wanted to decentralize the governance of it. And then there was this quote unquote proposal that went forth to the community to ask for a lot of money, just putting it short, into certain wages and certain initiatives. And then it didn't get passed. It was failed. But it turned out that the proposal was worded as more of a ratification, not as a permission or not as a request. It was, look, this is happening. It's going through regardless of this proposal. And so the proposal failed without people realizing what was going on. And then even though it failed, the money got pushed anyways and everything started happening. And it turned out that they had already begun a large amount of the transfer of funds prior to even the proposal being concluded. And so this created this big uproar by the community that, no, no, this isn't what it's supposed to be. This is anti-DAO. You're doing the wrong thing. Send the money back. And so this proposal went out, a secondary proposal, basically to reverse the previous one. And initially, that proposal had a lot of support to have the previous transactions unwound and essentially vetoed, you could say. As time went on, the proposal lost steam, and it lost now. I think it had 80% or a little over 80% voted no to unwind those transactions and let it go through. And some of the whales in the organization, millions of token holders in these few people, were saying that it had become a power play, that it had lost the spirit of what it was trying to do. Look, it's already gone through. You can't fight it. It's already been passed. Just let it be and let's move forward on fresher grounds. There's big controversy because a lot of groups are using the word DAO as a buzzword, a hype marketing word that is completely detached from the spirit of what we're trying to represent. Like, to me, the spirit of a DAO is a community that's trying to advance forward. It's a core group of people, like we've already talked about several times, that are aligned on core values, on a mission, on vision, and we're leveraging blockchain technology to help move us forward in ways that we were struggling with maybe without blockchain technology. That to me is kind of an ideal version, an ideal scenario. But there's other people who are like, oh yeah, we're just going to launch a DAO. It's going to be great. Number go up. Rocket emoji. Let's do this. LFG. And then it's misleading and it's bad for the whole ecosystem. So I'm curious if you guys have been following that a little bit or if you have your own take that is maybe a little bit different than mine.
Yeah, I have been following that. And I think it's unfortunate that they're going through that. The foundation is going through that with the community. Because I think it does come down to a communications issue. And it's not easy to start a DAO right now, especially in the US, legally. There are hoops that don't really make, you know, a lot of sense to most of us in DAOs. Or honestly, Steve said a trigger word earlier, KYC. You know, like some people are just going to like turn off if they hear that. They're like, nope, never mind. I don't want to listen to the rest of this conversation.
You're losing subscribers on the show, man.
I know. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry.
We're doxing everybody, all the subscribers.
It's like there are some of these things that projects, depending on where their jurisdiction is, right, are choosing to go through, or right, and especially with the instantiation of a DAO, right? This is a take I heard on Bankless podcast, especially in the instantiation of a DAO, the people that are forming it kind of have a pass on that first one. It seems like they shouldn't have put that up to a vote. That should have just been like part of the founding charter. It's like, this is like what we're doing. Because it wasn't really a meaningful vote. They were hoping that people were going to like approve it, but bad execution. Because now it just resulted in a bunch of uproar because you weren't clear. Because it's kind of not clear. But is that their fault? Is that the regulatory environment's fault? It's challenging, but I think, and I hold no ARB tokens. I have no stake in this claim at all. You don't receive an ARB airdrop, but it's just like, I give them a pass on this one. I know people are upset, but yeah, I think that second vote, that one where they were like, okay, never mind. 80% voted against reverting it. I think that was people being like, yeah, all right, we have a DAO now. If it's a DAO going forward, better than it was last week, cool. It's so okay. Maybe they made a little fumble. We're still winning the game.
Yeah, there's a balance that I'm observing between decentralized direct democracy, let's say, versus having some leadership in play. And it's something that we talk about a lot at CityDAO as well. What's the right balance? What's too much leadership? In other words, is there a connection between leadership and centralization of powers? Because centralization is like the kryptonite for a DAO. But at the same time, if you go full direct democracy, how do you get anything done? There's some sort of structure there that's in the middle that needs to be ironed out a little bit better. And I agree with you. I think that it just was a miscommunication. It was a miss, the way that the foundation presented that proposal. If it had to go through no matter what, it shouldn't have gone out for some sort of vote. The DAO should have been built with this as an axiom. Look, here's the DAO. And at the launch of the DAO, here's the budget that's been set aside to execute on these few things. And this is the foundation that it's being started from. You can't just force people to accept later.
Sorry. Yeah, I think my take on that is my understanding of the regulatory environment around that is that simple Howey test, you don't want value derived from the actions of a few other small people. So, right, I think the foundation, those people, they could have included that in the initial charter, in which they all approve. But then by distributing the tokens to the rest of the community, they would have then been providing these other people, the rest of the community would have been getting value from this small group. So they had to technically put it up for a whole DAO vote. There wasn't deriving value from the small group of people's actions. It was the whole community. I think, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, but like that would be my assumption of what that hurdle was and why they had to kind of put it up for a vote, even though technically they were just going to do it anyway, because we wouldn't want the foundation, like their interests are clearly aligned. I think it's something that probably plenty of other groups have foundations that support their development and things like that. Like I think it's very reasonable. And obviously now they have a DAO. So I don't know, it's a little messy.
It seems like they made a mistake. It seems like someone made a mistake early and forgot to include some of these details, to include the budgets. And then it was like, oh, well, you know what? Let's just put this through as a proposal. And obviously it's going to go through. Obviously it's going to be fine. And it's like, they just did not expect. First, they made a mistake, and then they made an assumption that it would go through, and it's like a double hit. And I always said, like, a catastrophe isn't when something goes wrong. It's when multiple things go wrong at the exact same time. That's what I think we're looking at here. I hope they can move forward from it and that it doesn't shed too much shadow over the DAO ecosystem. You know, one thing I'd like to see, I'd love to see like a Howey test for DAOs, a set of objectively identified, let's say, five different things that you look at and you put a check mark on it. Binary, yes, no. Does this thing do this? Yes, no. Does this thing do this? Yes, no. And if you get all five check marks, boom, you're a DAO. Or if you get like four check marks, then you're like some sort of middle category that is DAO-ish or aspirational in nature, moving towards DAO. And if you get zero check marks or like one, you're like, dude, you're not a DAO. Like you do not qualify. I don't know who's going to make this Howey test.
Or like a Howey test where everything is a security. You know, it depends how you interpret it. So the interpretation can get really, even if you are a contributor to work, because one of the tests is profiting from the work of others. But then they're even looking at that being interpreted as, even if you're contributing, you're also receiving benefit from the work of others. So yeah, it depends which way you want to look at something. It falls into, I think, the lines of selective enforcement, at least getting to that, while we navigate and we figure things out. I don't know that we'll ever define a DAO. I think there's probably more terms that will come out that will be more definitive around what the type of organization is. But speaking in general terms to the Arbitrum piece and these issues, when you've got a lot of whales, I can see on one hand, just to backtrack a little bit, like Elijah was saying, and you were saying, Eric, that if you figured it out beforehand, wouldn't that be great? It would just have been done and it would have been part of the charter. But then again, as part of an iterative process, you don't want to do too much in advance. You want to wait and let the community decide. And I think we've got a lot of DAOs out there with a lot of whales, especially when you have token weighted voting and you're not using algorithmic voting and different ways to ease that curve. If you've got two or three or four whales that can easily pass or vote down any proposal, then how DAO-like is that? And it's natural at the beginning, things are like that, but then how do you move, how do you transition? If you're committed to turning an organization into a DAO, how do you start doing that? How do you give away control? How do you delegate, even if you hold the value of the tokens, how do you delegate the voting rights to those tokens so you're not sitting with full control by a small handful of people? I think that's the key. And there's a ton of DAOs that are controlled or potentially controlled by a small handful of people. So how do they continue over time to rationalize that sort of structure if they can just de facto veto anything or pass anything they might want to in the future? I think that's a big question. I know a lot of organizations that are working toward moving in that direction, but it's tough. It's a tough question. And one more thing, maybe to move the conversation into this direction, is there's also a lot of potential relationships between different types of organizations. I think the reason why a lot of people want to be a DAO is to give the community voice and to engage community. And maybe if the community is not running the complete organization, the community has a certain level of input. And it's like a for-profit, nonprofit relationship of sorts. Maybe you can have a for-profit corporation where you have a community that's a nonprofit arm, not under the corporation, but has the ability to influence the direction of a movement and a project. Yet, what is the balance? And I think there's simple yet elegant solutions that probably exist somewhat in the real world already for people that have solved this problem even before tokens were a thing, but tokens can superpower those models.
And that's a good segue into LynxDAO. And I'm not trying to, just as a disclaimer, this isn't supposed to shill. I was really impressed by the structure.
Are you a golfer though?
I am not a golfer, man. And Cooper doesn't know this, but when I interviewed him on the show here, I brought him on as a guest. I was like, all right, I had a calendar event that says learn golf terminology, right? I had to actually put that in my calendar so that I don't look like a goofball doing this interview because I'm not a golfer. I'm good on nine holes, right? After nine holes, I'm happy. And I shouldn't say this because people in LinksDAO are going to cringe now. But I will be, if I have the opportunity, I would love to be one of the first people or part of the first group of people that goes to Spey Bay as long as that closes. I want to be there because it's a historic event. And I'll play a round of golf for sure, absolutely. But yeah, no, I'm not a super golfer. I don't get super excited about that. But I do get super excited seeing groups of people execute well with good energy. The first time I found LinksDAO, I joined into their Discord and I was like, hey guys, do you want to come on the show? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, it was super great energy. And then they brought me in. They're like, look, we got this live event going on right now. So I joined their Discord, a little special session group that had a live feed. They were playing, I don't know what golf video game it was, but they were doing a golf video game together as a group of the core contributors on a public voice channel. And you can see the screen where everyone's golfing and doing their game, but they're also discussing and laughing and joking about it in real life. This is community spirit, right? These are people sharing a passion and enjoying it and doing it. And that's a great energy foundation. But then as a legal foundation, exactly as you're saying, Steve, they set up this separation. They have the NFTs for governance over decision-making of what to do with the funds. Separate from that, entirely separate from that, is the for-profit entity that runs the subscription, the membership subscription for the golf course itself. So the golf course can be a profitable enterprise, but that has no bearing or significance on or impact on the governance of the property. The profits don't go to the NFT holders. To my understanding, the way that I understand it right now, it's a complete separation between the two. If you just want to be a golfer and participate, and KiftDAO is very similar to this too. KiftDAO Van Life. Matai from that organization has joined me on so many Twitter spaces lately. They have the structure of the DAO itself, which is separate from the membership that you pay an ongoing fee to be a part of the community. And so you can separate the governance from the profit. And CityDAO is exploring and discussing a lot of this stuff too, right? How do we replenish the treasury without accidentally triggering securities? Right? These are big questions that I'm not an expert on. I can't answer. Just building off what you said, Steve, it's cool to see groups like LinksDAO or KiftDAO that are making some headway on that. And there's a long way to go still in that direction. But yeah, it gets me excited. What are the top things that you guys need to get done as we wrap up the show here? What's the top things in the next 30 days you need to get done? And there's a reason I asked this. So many DAOs don't have an answer. They just don't have an answer. What is your actionables in the next 30 days? No pressure.
One of my actionables individually is to get back to San Francisco from New York.
Oh, you're in New York right now?
Yeah, I'm in Eastern time right now. Yeah, but I love New York. I'm from here. So even though I'm based in San Francisco, I'm from New York. So
whereabouts in New York are you?
Right now, I'm in Westchester in Rye Brook at my sister and brother-in-law's. He happens to be a major golfer, so he'll be excited to hear about LinksDAO, and maybe that'll turn him into a DAO enthusiast. He's actually flying out to Ireland to go golfing. He loves checking out different golf courses around the world, so that's his happy place.
To my understanding, we should know within any day now, because the offer is in diligence. I thought it was coming out of diligence last week. Maybe I misread that. Hopefully it's all good. There's probably just some follow-up extending questions. But to my understanding, the announcement of the physical ownership is supposed to be like any day at all. Are we going on a DAO Planet golf trip?
Yeah, maybe we need a DAO Planet. Well, I guess it would be the LinksDAO. They'll probably start a tournament, like a LinksDAO tournament. Become like the PGA of DAOs. Well, I'd say as far as the DAO goes, that was just what I'm thinking about for the immediate future. But it's figuring out our next event. We tend to plan, depending on the size of event, anywhere from a month to 3 months or so in advance. ETCC is coming up in mid-July. July 17th is the week of that event. So, you know, a lot to get in place and looking to partner. I think we have partnerships, whether it's partners with our sponsors and the people who bring in what makes it possible to do these things. We also love to do partnerships with other organizations like Decentral or ETCC or Crypto Mondays, you name it. I think our special sauce is bringing a big network and a lot of people with interest in the space and a lot of speakers like yourself, people that have something valuable to say and can really enlighten and educate the folks who come to learn and network with others. So there's that. I know there's consensus going on. I may stop at consensus in Austin on the way back to San Francisco as sort of like a long layover. And then there's always wrap up. We're still reconciling all the receipts from just under 2 months ago from DAO Denver 2023. There's the meet producing the media. So in a DAO, it's a little bit slow going to get those things out. We're always moving that forward, always looking for support and funds to help move things forward and just doing a lot with volunteer efforts in the meantime.
And how about you, Elijah? What are your top hits here? What's your top actionables inside DAO Planet or otherwise? What are you working on?
Yeah, I mean, well, DAO Denver was a big push for both Steve and myself, and then, you know, everyone else who came in.
That's an understatement, man. You guys were pushing it. You guys were grinding that thing full speed, yeah. No sleep. It was intense.
Couldn't have done it without Elijah stepping up at the level that he did. And yeah, it's a grind, but you love it. I think it's like Peace Corps.
It was crazy. We were on calls some night for like 8-10 hour calls until like 6 a.m, just grinding all night, just like working on stuff, working on proposals, working on whatever, getting the tech up. We had, I think, pretty ambitious vision and pulled it off. And I think now, yeah, it's taken a while to sort of wrap things up there, but that's kind of where my focus is at. It was definitely a labor of love, and I've been kind of going through a transition. And I was down in Florida dealing with some family issues for a couple of months. And now I'm back in Santa Barbara in California in my lab and just kind of rebooting this effort out here. So I'm about a mile away from UCSB, and I got my start in entrepreneurship, sort of bootstrapping and selling the products of my research, just trying to be an independent scientist. And now I'm trying to kind of use this space to do the same. So I am helping a little bit out with DAO Planet things, but mostly focusing on some other projects, getting some people in here to rent some space. Who knows, maybe we'll even be able to tokenize this effort going forward. And then Canvas Genome DAO, that's the DAO that I originally spun out of my previous business, still going strong. And MedDAO. MedDAO has been my day job for the past 2 months. So there's an upcoming product release for MedDAO. It'll be a pretty cool way to interact with medical peer review, being gain tokens in the DAO. Same thing, pretty similar to what we're doing with Cannabis Genome DAO using Ocean Protocol. So, and it is 2 days away from a holiday for Cannabis Genome DAO. So I need to do a little marketing around that.
420 being the bicycle day of Cannabis Genome.
Guys, thanks for your time coming out here. As soon as I stop recording, let's keep chatting a little bit after and hang out a little bit. But guys, I really appreciate you coming out. It's been really great to meet you and get to know you from Miami going into Denver. We met twice now, IRL. I've met you more times than most people that I've met in crypto. Twice is like twice as much as anyone else. There's so much stuff going on. Anyone that's listening, I'm going to put links to DAO Planet's Discord and to DAO Planet's Twitter, and just follow them on both of those. You can jump in. If you want to help out with an event, just join in on Discord or send a DM to Elijah or Steve on their Twitter. I'll put the personal Twitter for Elijah and Steve as well on the show notes to this episode. So you can reach out to them anytime. And if you have another guest suggestion for the show, just let me know. Send me a DM. I'm MemeBrains. You can go on the website podcast.citydao.io. There's a guest suggestion button. And remember to smash that subscribe button and give us a review. That's my only ask of you today. Just take a couple seconds out of your day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's about as long as it takes to click subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Do that. It really helps the show and the analytics. So thanks for listening again. We'll check you out on the next event. Make sure to stay in touch. Join the next CityDAO community call every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Mountain Time. Love to hear your thoughts, your opinions, your suggestions. We're doing a lot of governance-related discussions right now. And these are big times. These are big, important times for CityDAO.
I'll just do a quick plug. Just want to shout out to DAOPlanet.org is a place where you can go to join the Discord, join the Twitter channel, join Telegram, and also see all the videos from our prior events. So the videos are there, whether they're individual segments or long form 8 hours straight of full days of content. But we've got it all posted up with links into the different sessions. So just explore the website. You can see the past events, link to all the different speakers we've had, and follow up and learn and experience more about what people are doing in the DAO space.
You can even see my video clip recording when I was speaking at Decentral.
Exactly.
And you can see Elijah and I on the panel for DeSci in Denver.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we will see you next week on the CityDAO pod. Thanks for tuning in. Make it a great week. Bye for now.